As Brother Jonathan was preaching, my mind couldn't help but think about Isaiah chapter 1. And I'll quote this real quick and get to what's on my mind this afternoon. Isaiah 1, verse 2 and 3. Look what the Lord says. This is Jehovah God talking. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. I have nourished my children, I brought them up, and they rebelled against me. And I just love verse 3. To me, this is kind of, in my mind, sums up what Brother Jonathan was talking about a lot. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Do you realize what that just said? He just said, Israel, I've nourished them, I brought them up, I have been good to them, and they left me. And there are oxen who know their owner, and whenever they get hungry, they know to go to their owner. And there are asses, there are beasts of burden that know whenever they need rest to go to their master's crib. But you're so stupid that you don't do that. I'm like, yeah, Lord, that's me. All day. I mean, is that not y'all? Do you ever get out in the world and you're like, I'm just weary. I feel like I can't go another step. What am I supposed to do? Oh, Jesus said, come get some rest. But I forget about it till it's too late. Let's don't be like that. I mean, look, that's what he said. He said, animals are smarter than you guys. If you have your Bibles with you, John chapter 5. I tell you, I've been looking forward to this so much, so much. I tried to kind of weasel out of it a little bit earlier this week, and Brother Chris would not let me. But please pray for us. We need help. Oh, my goodness. I was reading Psalms the other day, and like the last five Psalms started out, praise the Lord, praise God, praise the Lord, praise God. And then finally I went and go look that word praise up. And we need help to praise God right now. We praised him through the two song services. We praised him through the prayer service. We praised him through the four preachers. Now I want to praise him through the fifth preacher. But you know what the word praise means? It means to celebrate. It means to shine forth. Don't y'all want to do some celebrating right now? I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, it irritates me whenever I hear people say that these meetings aren't a pep rally. Who doesn't need more pep in your life? I'm going to tell you, I need to be primed up. I need to be pepped up with the Holy Ghost, don't you? I mean, what do you want these meetings to be? A stomp on your feelings? A let the air out of your tire? No, we need to be strong in the Lord, amen? I mean, we need to celebrate God. Oh, God has been so good, and his mercy endures forever. Yay! You know why? Because you know what the wages of sin is? It's death. You know what mercy does? It keeps you from getting what you deserve. Everybody talks about what they deserve. Wages means what you deserve. Wages of sin is death. We're all sinners, right? We all deserve death. You know why we better be celebrating that God's mercy endureth forever? Because we're all sinners. We all deserve hell. Mercy keeps you from getting what you deserve. If his mercy runs out, you're going to hell. So praise God it endureth forever. Fifth verse, John. Fifth chapter, John. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Please, let us always celebrate God. Don't celebrate the minister. Don't celebrate the church. I want to tell you, never turn these meetings into a Mecca. Because this church is hosting it instead of this church. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to be celebrating God, not the church building. I see whenever we start to put one meeting above another, or this above that, people start worshiping this pastor, that pastor, and then that pastor falls. I need that pastor. I need his gift. Don't exalt him so that he falls and I can't use his gift no more. God's not going to share his glory with anybody. I love this. Let us put our Jesus glasses on. I'm going to tell you, I want you to over-spiritualize, right? I want you to just get spirit all over you when you read this. Look what it says here. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool. What happens at a sheep market? Sheep are bought, amen? Now look what it says here. There is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. So right beside a place where sheep are bought, there's a pool called Bethesda, and Bethesda means the house of mercy and the house of kindness. So you know where sheep get bought? At the house of mercy and the house of kindness. I'm going to tell you the reason we are bought and the reason we are going to be in heaven one day is because of the grace, kindness of God. And the reason we're not going to have to reap the eternal consequences of our sins is because of the mercy of God. Can you not see Jesus here? He is the house of mercy. He is the house of kindness. It says, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, folk who ain't got no power. A blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. If the Lord blesses just for a little while, I'm going to take this miracle that happens here and I want to use it as a picture of regeneration, as a picture of the new birth, as a picture of being born again. And I want you to understand what was laying here were a bunch of powerless people. And whenever it comes to us being born again, you know what we are? Powerless. We do not do it upon our own means. Look what it says here. It says, for an angel, it says, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, powerless folks, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Why were they there waiting for the moving of the water? For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man, so the reason they're there, there was a time that at this pool, an angel came down and troubled the water. And whoever was sick, whoever was withered, whoever needed to be made whole, whenever they were placed into that water, they became whole. So of course, everybody who needed to be made whole, they start camping out at that pool. I would do that. But look what it says here. And fifth verse. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And you're going to find out he can't walk. And he's laying there at the pool. I want you to understand the condition this man was in. He could not walk, Brother Jerry. He cannot transfer himself from point A to point B. But the only way that he could get whole is he had to get to point B. I want you to understand this. He could not walk, but the way that he would get cured of not being able to walk, he had to walk to the pool. I mean, there's a lot of people laying that burden on folks today.
Yeah.
They say, if you want to be born again, you have to do something that only born again people can do. Do you not get that? Do you not see that? They say, if you want to be born again, just believe in the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, if you ain't got faith, if you haven't been born again, you can't believe in the Lord. They say, if you want to be born again, just love the Lord. The Bible teaches, if you ain't been born again, you can't love the Lord. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, Arminian doctrine. I mean, do you not see that? And he was like that for 38 years. Couldn't walk. But the way you get cured of not walking is he's got to walk. I don't have the spirit, but the way you get the spirit is doing something spiritual. Y'all starting to get it now, right? Okay. Sixth verse. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, I love that. Put your spiritual glasses on. How long we been in that case? If you haven't been born again, before I was born again, how long was I in that case? I'm going to tell you, I was in that case since Adam disobeyed God. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I want you to understand, over in Psalms 14, it says we all together became filthy. And that all together is A-L-L, different word, together. Meaning every one of us, meaning all of Adam's posterity, became filthy all at the same time. Amen. And then over in Psalms 53, instead of A-L-L, then another word together, it says A-L-T-O-G-E-T-H-E-R. Okay? All together, one word. Meaning whenever we all together fail in filthiness, we all together from toe to top became filthy. Amen. Meaning there ain't a little bit of good in nobody. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, whenever we were conceived in iniquity. If there's a little bit of good in somebody, it's because God put it there. And they've been born again. But the Bible says that whenever we fell in sin in Adam, we all together from head to toe became filthy. We were putrefied. But ain't a little good in everybody.
Amen.
And if you understand that, then you'll understand if you see yourself doing good, it's because you've been changed. I'm going to tell you. What we're going to look at here, a man was made whole. And I want you to understand, this miracle that was performed upon him is a picture of the miracle of regeneration that's performed upon us. And it's important for us to, for that man to understand he was made whole. And it's important for us to understand that we've been born again. And just like after he was made whole, Christ educated him on something he needed to do, and it was walk. If you don't know you can walk, you're not going to walk. I'm going to tell you, I want you to know you've been born again, and now I want you to walk. Look what it says here. Christ seen him there a long time. And he saith unto him, I love that about Christ. He came to us. Jesus said, I came down from heaven to us. I'm going to tell you what, if you really want reconciliation, brothers and sisters, Matthew 5 says you go to them. You don't wait on them to come to you, you go to them. I was with some folks one time, and they were giving me their gripes, and they said, and they never invited me over to their house before. I said, when's the last time you invited them over to your house? Never. How about you be like Christ and you take the initiative? Amen? I mean, they're laying a burden. They're saying that this person transgressed the law and they're holding a grudge against them transgressing this law and they're transgressing it too. We would never do that. Oh, welcome to my life. I'm just glad to see it in other people because I'm like, Lord, woo. I was questioning. Well, look what it says here. The Lord says unto him, and I mean that. We need to act like Christ. Church I used to pastor, the dear saints were leaving one day, and I asked the mother, I said, where's your boys at? And she said, oh, they ran outside. I'll go get them and come tell you bye. I said, no, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to go to them. And I mean, that's really how we should live our life. If we're doing something and we realize Jesus wouldn't have did that, that Jesus would have disdained that, we need to disdain it and repent and try to do better. Look what it says here. The Lord says to him, the last part of John chapter 5, verse 6, will thou be made whole? I love this. Seventh verse. Then potent man answered him, sir, I have no man. Yay. I'm going to tell you, now this isn't a part of regeneration here, but I'm going to tell you what. Whenever I'm talking to somebody and they tell me that they have no man, they tell me they have no strength, they tell me they have no hope, I'm like, yay! Thank you, Lord. Because you know who showed you that? The Lord showed you that. And if you believe you have no man, if you believe you have no strength, if you believe you have no hope, you got a hope. Because you're saying you're nothing. I'm going to tell you, natural man does not think of himself as being nothing. Before the Lord touched me, I thought I was the greatest, the skinniest, the most handsomest, and all that was untrue. I'm going to tell you, pride will do some horrible things. I mean, pride will lie to you. And you may be laughing. I mean, I'm going to tell you, pride, whenever you don't have the Spirit of God keeping your natural man in check, you think you're great.
Yeah.
But whenever the Spirit of God enters your heart and shows you you're nothing, oh, what a beautiful day that is. Yeah. He says, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Can you imagine that time after time? No hope. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And look what it says. And immediately the man was made whole. I'm going to tell you, the Lord gave him a commandment, and immediately he was made whole. But what happened first? Did he walk first, or was he made whole first? He was made whole. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, if you believe in Christ Jesus, you've been made whole.
Amen.
I mean, if you want to be a better person, you've been made whole. If there's something within you that tells you that you're a sinner, you've been made whole.
Yeah.
And the way you were made whole is the Lord said, come forth. The Lord said, live, and you live. But the fact that now there's actions preceding from that life is evidence you've been made whole.
Yeah.
But look what it says here. And I want you to understand this. I think sometimes we just hear about grace sometimes, and we've just heard it so much, we don't appreciate it. I mean, I can't stand it when everybody's out here. I'm tired of hearing grace. Grace is what motivates me. Grace is that stimulus package, Brother Dan. I mean, it is. I love that song. The cross of Christ inspires my heart to sing redeeming grace. Awake my soul and bear part in my Redeemer's praise. I'm going to tell you, I'm a slow-moving, at my own pace, don't get in no hurry. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to coming to be with the Lord's people, I get there a lot faster than I usually would. You know why? Because grace motivated me. I'm going to tell you, whenever the Lord shows me where I'm doing wrong, shows me that I'm watching too much TV, shows me I'm listening to the wrong thing, I try to correct that because I need to be closer to my Savior. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, was it a miracle when this man was made whole? Was that a miracle?
Yeah.
And you know what else is a miracle? When God entered your heart. Do you realize that there was a time, whether you were in your mother's womb like John the Baptist, or whether you were on the road to Damascus, or whether you were hanging on the cross, there was a time that you hated God. There was a time that God was not in all your thoughts. There was a time where your heart cursed God. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're here and you're rejoicing in the message, God has entered your heart. God came down from heaven and said, live. And he's right there inside of you. Isn't that amazing? It didn't happen haphazardly. Y'all think the Lord just throws a bunch of Holy Ghost down here? And it's like whenever they get tired of wandering around, they go into Brother Jerry. Or they go into Brother Chris. No, I'm going to tell you. Whenever the Lord born you again, he took that spirit. And he said, whoa. And you'll make a lie. The Lord thought about you. And he gave you himself. Isn't that beautiful? That's a miracle. And you having that spirit, You know what that's evidence of? One day you're going to heaven. What time is it? All right. Look what it says here. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I love this. Y'all bear with me here, because this is like celebrating stuff right here. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Look what he says. The Jews come to him and says, why are you carrying your bed? Brother Adam, why are you carrying your bed? Why are you doing what Jesus said? And look what he says. I love this. Oh, brothers and sisters, we should put this on our wall. If you want inspiration in your life, look what it says here. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. They said, why are you walking? He said, the guy who just cured me of my 38-year infirmity, where I haven't been able to walk for 38 years, he told me to walk. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk. Do you get that? I'm going to tell you. Why are you at a church meeting on Friday? The man who made me whole. The man who saved me from hell. The man who put his spirit within me. He told me to walk. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk. That ain't a do nothing religion. That's a get up and go. Go with me a little bit more. I think we can miss a little more 10 minutes of nap. I was saying to myself, whenever he said what he told Brother Jonathan, I was like, he didn't tell me that. I was like, we get paid? Look what it says here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee eternal life. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I want to tell you, you know the only difference between somebody that's dead from a visual standpoint and somebody who is alive? I used to work in a dementia unit. Loved it. I could tell the same joke every day. She's Italian, so she'd always kiss me on the cheek, and she had the COVID, and she'd chase me down. But anyway, this there was this sister there, and she was always worried about everybody. You could tell she took care of people her whole life. And about 3:30 in the afternoon, if you walk into our unit after we gave everybody their snacks and did their exercise, about half of them was going to be like this. And this little lady, she would always come over to me and she would say, hey. I said, what? She said, he's dead. Now, I got used to it, but because I worked where I worked, I paid a little extra attention. And I'm like, no, he's not. But my whole point is this. You know what dead people do? They lay down and stay still. You know what alive people do? You know what sleeping people do? They lay down and they stay still. The only way I could tell that person wasn't dead without going over there and putting my stethoscope on his heart or putting my machine or feel his pulse or something to wake him up and then make him mad. I looked at them, stared at them. Sometimes, you know, older people get real close. They're all bundled up, so I could barely see their chest rising. But the only way I could tell that they were alive Besides that, I could not tell. Here Jesus, here God, the Apostle Paul says, awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead. You're not dead, but you're acting like you're dead.
That's right.
I don't want to act like I'm dead.
Amen.
You know why? Because he that made me whole, he told me to walk.
Amen.
Right? Over in Ephesians 4 it says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. We're all in lowliness. Why are you being lowly? Because he that made me whole. Why are you being humble? He that had made me whole. Why are you being loving? He that had made me whole. It says, with all forbearing. He that had made me. Why are you being long-suffering? Why are you putting up with this? Because he that had made me whole told me to do it.
Amen.
Why are you letting that person cuss you out and you ain't going at him? Because he that had made me whole told me to bless. Why are you not all walking like other people? Because he that had made me whole told me not to.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, the Bible says we are a peculiar people. I know that means chosen, select, but it also means different if you look up some of the definitions. And I say that because people want to argue, oh, it really doesn't mean weird. It does in some definitions. Okay? But my whole point is this. We are peculiar in this way. You know, a born-again child of God is the only person who can love. A born-again child of God is the only person who can truly forgive without an ulterior motive. A born-again child of God is the only person who can really bless when they're cursed. A born-again child of God is the only one who can forbear. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we are peculiar people. And we need to act like it. You know why? Can't you just see him? Hey, Brother Chris, I just see him looking at them like, duh. Because they're sitting there like, because here he is. He's been laying there for 38 years, brother. I know you get the funniness of this. I mean, for 38 years, he's been laying there. And they've been watching him. And now he's up, walk, taking his bed. And they're not like, hey, that guy's walking. He ain't done that in 38 years. They're like, hey, it's the Sabbath day. And then they say, hey, why are you walking? And he's like, are you kidding me? Let me tell you something, brother. The Lord just didn't give us legs. He gave us an eternal home.
Amen.
He gave us an eternal home.
Amen.
He gave us an eternal home so great that the only way he can tell us how good it is through a metaphor. He says, we're going to be walking on streets of gold.
Amen.
Meaning the thing that people would kill folks for and sell their mother out for here on this place, up there is dirt.
Right.
Up there it's under your feet. It's trodden under your feet. I want to tell you, why do I want to be a better person? Because he that made me